Good morning. This is a new and different thing for me, but I'm glad to be able to talk with you this way. We are in lesson 12 of the class we've studied in this classroom for the first quarter, and at the about spiritual leadership. This class is being apt to teach. A subtitle for it is "Feed My Sheep." That reminds us of the passage that John, where John explains to us the events that happened with Jesus after his resurrection, but before he ascended, when he said to Peter, "Tend my sheep," or "Feed my sheep." And so, what this class is about, it's particularly aimed at people who are who would be shepherds in the church. This class is about being apt to teach, and it speaks to our responsibility that we have to be teachers in the kingdom, and particularly for those that we're responsible for in the local church. I want us to look at several passages of Scripture, learn what we can about what Scripture teaches us about our responsibilities. Sometimes it may be what it tells us to do, how it tells us to do those things, why we are supposed to do those things. And so I hope you have your handout from the class. If you don't, if you can just take some notes, you can write down these passages of Scripture, and they are important for us to really think about and ponder as we consider what our responsibilities are as teachers in the church. I want to first look at Matthew chapter 28. I want to read verses 18 through 20. Matthew 28, 18 through 20. This is a very familiar passage of Scripture to us, but Matthew tells us some important things that Jesus said to his disciples just before he ascended. In Matthew 28, verses 18 through 20, this is what Matthew records. "And Jesus came up and spoke to them, saying, 'All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age.'" This is a very familiar passage of Scripture, but Jesus says a couple of things here that are very, very important to us. Now, mind you, he was talking to his apostles, and we understand that. But here he told them, make disciples and teach them to observe all that I have commanded you. And when we think about that, how important does that make the spiritual leader's responsibility to teach? It's a direct commandment to those who would spread the message of the kingdom, a direct command from Jesus Christ himself. And if you just think about this for a moment, had the apostles not taken that responsibility seriously, if they'd laid down on that responsibility, what would have happened? What would have happened to all the teachings of Jesus? Now, of course, we're talking about he's the Lord. And but he ascended and he left the responsibility to spread this message across the world to those 12 men. At the time, it was 11. They subsequently, they appointed another apostle. But we need to think about that and how that impacts us and our responsibility to teach in our little corner of the world. Let's look at another passage. Acts chapter 20. Verses 28 through 31, Acts 20, 28 through 31. This is another familiar passage to us. Here, remember that Paul is speaking to the elders at the church of Ephesus, and he is preparing to lead them. And so he gives them some important instructions about their responsibilities to the sheep that they lead. Acts 20, 28 through 31. "Be on guard for yourselves and for all the flock among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. I know that after my departure, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. And from among your own selves, men will arise, speaking perverse things to draw away the disciples after them. Therefore, be on the alert, remembering that night and day for a period of 3 years, I did not cease to admonish each one with tears. He says he wants them to shepherd the church. It's a special word in the Greek. I'm not really going to try to, I don't know if I'll pronounce it correctly or not, but it's a poimaino. It means to shepherd. It's translated to shepherd in the New American Standard Bible, the New King James Version. In the King James Version, it uses the word feed. Those translators use the word feed. It means the same thing, to feed or to shepherd. But we can have a different mental picture in our mind when we think about that word. In the English Standard Version, it uses the word to care for the sheep. And he's talking about care for the church of God, those that you are among. Paul tells them what to do and why to do it. What to do was to shepherd, to feed. And why? Because there are dangers that are lurking out there, and it's your responsibility as the shepherds to not let the wolves in to the sheep. He explains, at least I think about it in this way. The health of our children depends on how we as parents feed and nurture them. It does, whether that is talking about their physical health, their mental, emotional, moral, their spiritual health. It's up to us to feed them the things that they need. And the same thing is true of the church. The health of the church depends on how the shepherds feed. And here Paul is specifically addressing the spiritual needs of the church, so that the word that they have, that has been delivered to them and that they have learned, they are not led off into error, into practice things that would have taken them away from the message that had been delivered to them. So Paul gives these shepherds a warning about their responsibility to care for and to teach the church. Let's look next at 1 Timothy chapter 3 and in verse 2. Here, this is in the section of scripture where Paul speaks with Timothy about the qualifications for elders. And here he says in 1 Timothy 3, verse 2, "An overseer then must be above reproach, the husband of one wife, temperate, prudent, respectable, hospitable, able to teach." That's the phrase that I want to focus on for just a moment. Paul here tells Timothy, this is what these men need to be able to do. He mentions a long list of other things, but this is something that they need to do. How important is the spiritual leader's responsibility to teach? It's one of the qualifications for the spiritual leader. But why would a shepherd need to be able to teach if the Lord didn't expect him to do it? Seriously, why would he need to be able to teach if the Lord didn't expect him to do it? This is not only a qualification for shepherd, but it's one that deserves serious attention, not more attention than any of the others, but it's one that deserves serious attention. Men who would be leaders in the church need to work to develop the ability to teach. And I'm going to talk a little bit more about that in just a few moments. Let's look next at Titus chapter 1. Don't have to turn, but just a couple of pages in your Bible. Titus chapter 1 and verse 9. In this section, Paul is writing to Titus about the qualifications of elders. And in verse 9, he says, "Holding fast the faithful word, which is in accordance with the teaching, so that he will be able both to exhort in sound doctrine and to refute those who contradict." Here, Paul explains what the shepherds are to be able to do, and then he explains why that is so important. They are to hold fast the faithful word in accordance with the teaching that they had received. Hold fast to that, not go off and a bunch of other stuff, but to hold fast to the teaching that they had received. And we can know what that was when we just had to open our Bibles. He also tells them to be able to exhort in sound doctrine and refute those who contradict it. So that's what the purpose of this ability is to do. This sounds like advice that Paul could have even given to the Ephesian elders in Acts chapter 20. That, of course, is not recorded for us, but it's the same message. It's the same message that's the responsibility for the shepherds. Turn back a page in your Bible to 2 Timothy chapter 2. I want us to look at verses 24 and 25. 2 Timothy 2, 24 and 25. There, Paul writes to Timothy, "The Lord's bondservant must not be quarrelsome, but be kind to all, able to teach, patient when wronged, with gentleness correcting those who are in opposition, if perhaps God may grant them repentance, leading to the knowledge of the truth." Here we remember that Paul is writing to Timothy. Timothy was a gospel preacher. So this is what he is explaining to Timothy. But how much we can learn by understanding how best to fulfill our responsibilities as teachers when we try to learn about that as shepherds in the church. Paul explains what to do, that's to teach, and how to do it. Very important principle for us to know that what he explains is, don't be quarrelsome. Teach with gentleness. Paul wants us to know that the goal is not just to win an argument. If somebody challenges us on what we teach, the goal is not to try to beat them up or to win an argument for the sake of that. That doesn't help. The goal is to try to win them over, so that they may repent and obey the truth, repent in what they teach or what they understand about the scripture, and then obey the truth, have knowledge of the truth. So how important does that make in our responsibility to be able to teach, to be able to understand when things are counter to what we've learned, counter to what the Bible teaches us to do, and then how we handle it? Because the truth of the matter is, every time we teach, we're talking about someone's soul. And so that's how important that responsibility is for spiritual leaders. The spiritual leader's responsibility to teach really cannot be overstated. I want us to look at 2 Timothy chapter 2, that's where we are right now. 2 Timothy chapter 2, look at verse 15. This is a familiar passage of scripture. I'm reading from the New American Standard. It reads, "Be diligent to present yourself approved to God as a workman who does not need to be ashamed, accurately handling the word of truth." In the King James Version that all of us have read at some time or other, you remember that it is translated this way: "Study to show thyself approved unto God." The same thing can be said in the New American Standard: diligently apply yourself to the Word of God so that you can handle it, and so that we accurately handle God's Word, and God Himself will approve of it. Let's think about the responsibility that we have when we are teaching the Word of God, just for a moment. Think about carrying the torch for the Olympics. That would be pretty cool. What a great honor to carry the torch in the Olympics. Think about what honor then should be ascribed to carrying the Word of God to others. It is not a light obligation. When we think about that, I want us to understand, teaching is not something that we should fear. It's not an obligation to fear. It is a challenge to face with great effort. That's what it takes, is effort. And it is a privilege to talk about or teach about the Word of God, because that is the only thing that will save the souls of men and women. So it's a huge responsibility, and we have to undertake it seriously. And when it comes to teaching, there is nothing magical about it. I sometimes say it's 10% inspiration, not literal inspiration. It's 10% inspiration and 90% perspiration. It takes effort to learn about the Bible, to dig into the Bible and understand. It takes effort. We can't just hold the Bible up to our heads and say, well, I hope it gets there by osmosis. That is not going to happen. Christianity is a taught religion. It's a taught religion. And so it requires effort, just as it requires effort to learn things in school, required effort to learn the alphabet. It required effort to learn our multiplication tables. It required effort to learn different parts of speech, to learn to read, all the things. And you just go up through the grades. We think about how difficult classes could sometimes be. They could be a challenge. They require effort, but there's great reward once we are able to manage those subjects. So we may not know what the answer is to every single Bible question someone may ask, but we need to know where to find it and how to find it. And that is how we prepare ourselves to teach. There's some real important principles for teaching. And I want to just talk about a few things here for just a moment. Set objectives when you're teaching to challenge your students. You know what you want, the message that you want to get to them. Present it in an orderly way, a logical way. And so you can guide students from point A to point B. That's what you really want to accomplish. And you have to use your time wisely. When we think of, the elders have talked about this over and over and over. We have about 4 hours together during a week. 2 hours on Sunday morning, an hour on Sunday evening, and an hour on Wednesday evening. We have classes on Sunday morning and on Wednesday evening. And we hear 2 sermons from the pulpit. So shepherds have a limited period of time. There's 168 hours in the week. And we have 4 hours that we spend together, two of which we really focus specifically on teaching in a classroom setting. So there's a limited time to teach and to train, limited time. It's always good when we can have extra time to get together. And I know there are families that do that, and that is laudable to do that. But there's limited time. So when we think about teaching in the corporate sense of teaching in the times that we get together, we have about 4 hours of direct influence, and that is out of 168 hours in a week. When it comes to teaching in a classroom, we really have about an hour and a half, 45 minutes in each class, an hour and a half. So it is time to teach and train, not to try to entertain. Teach and train. Teach the Bible, not just stories or sharing opinions. They're not going to do any good. David Lanfear on life isn't going to help anybody get to heaven. Scriptures will teach us how to do that. And so what we need to do is learn how to convey the message that's in Scripture. It's got to be scripturally based. And we need to be able to point into in the Bible the things that we teach. And so it takes setting some objectives and trying to be deliberate about the things that we want to share with others. Next, if you want to be able to teach, you have to demonstrate that ability to teach, and there's only one way to do it, and that's to do it. Just do it. The more you teach, the more you learn. And I will tell you that is so true. We spend, teachers do, spend so much more time preparing for a class than the 45 minutes that we're given in the class. And that may be one reason why sometimes we go long. Or we want that we have more to say, or we have to take extra class periods to say it. There is so much for us to learn, and we have a limited time to do it. So we need to learn good study skills, and get the right materials that will improve our study and enhance our own learning. I want to talk about some things, the materials that you can use. If you don't have them in your library, get some. Most of the things I'm going to talk about right now are things that you can have You can get them electronically. They're available electronically. You can walk around with your phone, and I need to make sure what my time is here. You can put on your phone now almost an entire library. Some of the books I'm going to share with you, I have on my telephone. I use them frequently from my telephone rather than get out the books. But these are some things that you really need to enhance your ability to learn more about the Bible and to share it with others. First of all, is a good concordance. A concordance is simply a book that's got every word literally that's in the Bible in there. And if you try to find something, then you'll be able to find it. I know this is backwards on your screen, but this is a Strong's Concordance. There's a ton of information in this book. Every single word that's in the Bible, you can look it up. Right, I just opened it. It's to the word king. So every time the word king appears in the Bible, it's in this, it's listed under that. Moab, Molech, miserable, saw, strengthened, word, love. There's so many. And if you are trying to find a word or understand it, you just simply look in a passage, find out what word in the original language was used translated into that specific English word. And then it will be defined. Strong defines it. Now, there are other books that we can use to do that. To understand those words. Bible dictionaries. You need a good Bible dictionary. Incidentally, if you want to know, if you want to get Strong's for your phone, you can. There's a free version. And all you have to do, if you're reading a passage of scripture, you just touch that word, and then it automatically tells you what the word was in the original language and the meaning of that word. Strong's definitions are very, very brief. But you can get other materials, reference materials, that will give greater definition. W.E. Vine, that's a book that most everyone is familiar with. And this is this one in particular is Expository Dictionary of New Testament Words. So it doesn't include the Hebrew. There is Thayer's Greek English Lexicon. This is a little bit more difficult to use, at least for me, because it translates the word using the original alphabet, that which is more difficult for me. Strong numbers all the words, so if you want to know what, if you're trying to look up two different or one word and it's got two different words in the original language, they're numbered. So you don't have to figure out what the letters are. You just look for a number. All of us know how to do that. So there's Vines, there's Thayer's. This is a newer Bible dictionary that Curtis told me about a few years ago. It's called Mounces, M-O-U-N-C-E, Mounce. It's a newer Bible dictionary. It doesn't mean that there's anything that's new and different in it. It's just something that's a work that is more recently done. There's lots of other books that I could share with you. This is one that I really particularly like, and it's called, you won't be able to tell it on the screen, That's Easy for You to Say. That's Easy for You to Say. And what this real simple book does is it has a pronunciation guide for every single Bible name or location in the Bible. And it's easy to understand. So if you wanted to, something like that, if you were reading, wanted to know how to pronounce something, it's a real inexpensive source. But there's lots of materials that are available. And the more that you study to try to mine what is in the Bible, the more gold you're going to find. How many times have we read a passage of scripture and then we say to ourselves, wow, I never got that. I never realized that. The reason for that is because we read the scriptures through the experience that we have in our lives. I'm going to give a real simple example. Psalm 34, verses 17 and 18. Two short verses. I can remember years ago, I read this, and I will tell you how I understood it. The righteous cry, and the Lord hears and delivers them out of all their troubles. The Lord is near to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit. At one time in my life, I read that and thought, the Lord hears us. He'll help us with our troubles. And this is a real good inspiration about prayer. Then when we go through challenges in our lives, when we go through some experience that is so challenging to us, I then read Psalm 34, verses 17 and 18, and I read it this way. The righteous cry, and the Lord hears and delivers them out of all their troubles. Oh, it's not just that he hears people's prayers. I mean, turn them on, turn them off. He hears me. Out of all the millions of people on the earth that are praying, he hears me. And he is near to the brokenhearted. He's concerned about my broken heart. And he saves those who are crushed in spirit. This became a very personal verse of scripture to me, to teach me how much God cares, how much I can lean on him, and how much he wants to help carry me when I can hardly carry myself. So the reason that things mean more to us as we study the Bible and we seem to find things that we didn't know were there, it's because as we grow older, we have more experience in our lives. We see greater application of scripture to the things that we experience in our lives. And so it helps us. So that when we talk about the rubber of faith meeting the road of life, the Lord's given us a book that expands as we expand and helps us to understand the deeper meanings and things, because our needs become greater and deeper sometimes as we have more experience in life. So the leader's overall goal and responsibility is to prepare her sheep to meet the spiritual challenges that lie before them. We want to equip our sheep to be the people that God wants them to be. So whether life challenges or even doctrinal challenges, they face them sometime in their life, they will be able to meet them head on, because either of those kinds of challenges can sideline us. We really appreciated your being in this class. We are glad that you were able to study these things with us, and I hope that it is encouraging to those who consider their role in the kingdom, in the Lord's church, as they grow older. So thank you for being with us today. And let's say a quick word of prayer before we finish. Dear Lord, we're so thankful that you have given us the scriptures. We're thankful that you have given us the ability to read and understand and learn what you want us to know. We realize, Father, that you've given us everything we need for life and for godliness. We pray that we will reminds to studying your scriptures and to understand them so that we can share them with others. And we'll be equipped to meet every challenge that we face, whether it's a spiritual challenge or one in our lives. Thank you for the time that we've had to study this class and our time to be together this morning. And we pray that you'll look down on us in tender love and mercy and forgive us of every wrong that separates us from you. And we pray, Father, that at the end of time, we'll be united with you and Christ Jesus, your Son, and those that we love. We pray in Christ Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you for being here today.